Lent literally means spring. This is the longest, this is the latest Ash Wednesday can be. You know that? It can be as early as February 2nd and as late as March 9th. Well, guess what? It's March 9th. So if you were thinking to yourself, boy, it's been a long time since Christmas, it has. I wish it was spring out there. But anyway, it's another story. It's muddy. Yeah. It feels like spring. But what amazes me is the season of Lent is interesting. When you look through the different services that are out there for Ash Wednesday and different times during the Lenten season, it's funny because all of the other seasons in the church year, they talk about celebration. Celebrating the time of preparation during Advent, celebrating Christmas, celebrating Epiphany, celebrating Easter, celebrating Ascension, celebrating Pentecost. And poor Lent, all they say about Lent is, we keep Lent. Now, if I were Lent, I would feel like the abandoned child, wouldn't you? I would feel like the ugly duckling, you know, here you go, we'll keep you. But there's a reason for that, isn't there? Isn't there a reason why the church talks like that when it comes to Lent? Because how many of us really, truly like to give up stuff? When I was growing up, I always loved it when they said, what are you going to give up for Lent? And if you've known me for a little while, even though it doesn't look like it, I'm not crazy about chocolate. I don't mind it, but it's not something that I crave. So when I would say, I'm giving up chocolate, everybody thought, oh, wow. And I'd be thinking to myself, I can handle this. No sweat. Easy. Any of you have done that? Pick something during Lent that you knew you'd give up and it wouldn't be too hard on you? No? Sounds so noble. That's what Jesus was talking about. You know, if you really want to impress people, the Pharisees had this down. Pick something that you won't miss too much and make a big deal about giving it up. Come into the office and go, woe is me, I gave up chocolate, I can't even die. Now, if it was caffeine, on the other hand, well, then maybe we have an issue. But not giving that up. Nobody wants to live with me when I give that up. So, but what's important for us is to understand, why do we have this kind of, we'll celebrate all those other things, but we keep Lent. It's because Lent is a reflective season. It is a penitential season. It's a season that's been set aside 40 days to contemplate and reflect. What Jesus was willing to do is he left that Mount of Transfiguration where God enveloped him and Moses, Elijah, Peter, James, and John and said those wonderful words that he said at his baptism, at the beginning of his ministry, you are my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. And Peter wanted to stay there because it was a mountaintop experience. Everything was good. And yet they talked about his departure to Jerusalem and his and the cross, his exodus, his departure to the cross. And from then on, his whole ministry focused towards Jerusalem. And during these 40 days, we focus towards Jerusalem. And we see the next mountain that he's going to climb, the next mountain that he's going to go to. And that mountain is the Mount of Calvary. And so we recognize that during Lent, we're focusing on something that isn't really, from a worldly point of view, something that many would celebrate, right? I mean, just think about it. It's kind of like putting an electric chair up there or a hanger's noose, right? Crucifixion is a horrible, horrible way to die. And yet, that's what we focus on. That's what we fix our eyes on during Lent. For 40 days, we fix our eyes on the cross. We prepare to hear the message of the passion and the crucifixion and the death of Jesus Christ. And the psalmist today in Psalm 51, David, desires us to rend our hearts. Oh, that's actually Joel, the prophet, says, rend your hearts. King David says, the Lord desires a contrite heart. This is a time where we reflect and we take ashes that were burnt from the palm branches that we used to celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem last year. They were burning them as you came in tonight on the front there because it's the only place that was dry. It was outside. And those ashes are put together with the oil that has in it the stuff that was used that the ladies brought out in order to put on Jesus' body. It's mixed in, so it smells really nice. But these ashes, when you receive them, it's going to say, we're going to say to you, dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now, if that isn't a Valley of the Shadow of Death experience, I don't know what is. Really. I mean, you're getting ashes on your forehead, people. And somebody's telling you, you're dust. If they had a gun, you'd be worried. Right? I mean, this is, if you think about it, it's kind of morbid. You know, you're dirt. You're dust. But the point is that we're here tonight to keep this time, to keep these 40 days of preparation, so we never lose focus on the fact that it was us who put Jesus on the cross. It was our sin that nailed him to that cross on the Mount of Calvary. Mount Calvary is the next mountain, and we are the ones who put him there. And so as we receive, it's always amazing to me, Ash Wednesday is kind of neat because we receive this cross of ashes, and right after we have prayer and a few other things, we receive the Lord's Supper, which is for us that with all of our senses, receiving the forgiveness of sins, right? Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, receive this for the forgiveness of sins. It's with all of our senses an assurance that we are forgiven. And someone go, well, how can you, just a few minutes ago, tell me dust I am and to dust I shall return, which is what God said to Adam, and yet at the same time in the same service celebrate the wonderful truth of Christ's forgiveness and his righteousness. Well, I can tell you, because St. Paul told us. Remember that epistle lesson that Mr. Hart read? Don read to us from 2 Corinthians, the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. He says this, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Just think about that. We're going to get just a cross of ashes on our forehead. And yet on the cross, Jesus became sin for us. Our once and for all sacrifice. But what I want you to pay attention to is if we come and in this season truly ask the Lord to show us what we are to repent, to help us to rend our hearts, to help us to have a contrite and repentant heart before him, then when we get to the point of experiencing the ashes and the Lord's Supper, we will understand what he says next. Because he goes on to say, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Think about this. He who had no sin became sin for us. So that we might in him become the righteousness, or take on the righteousness of God. You see why it's so important for us to repent, for us to observe this time of reflection and repentance, to have a contrite heart, to rend our hearts before the Lord so that we can come to him and say, dust we are, and to dust we shall return. We've done nothing. We've done nothing to deserve eternal life, forgiveness, and salvation, have we? None of us could stand before him and say, you know, Jesus, you should be happy to have me. None of us. That's why the ashes are so important, because they remind us that we bring nothing. And yet tonight we get to experience both the recognition of who we are, dust we are, and to dust we shall return. And at the same time, in a few minutes later, we get to experience all that the Lord wants to give us. We take his body and blood and are assured of our forgiveness, our salvation, and the gift of everlasting life. Can you see why St. Paul said what he said to the Corinthians? He who had no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. I like to call it the sweet swap. Because then he goes on and he says these things kind of, it's kind of funny when you read them. He says, genuine, yet regarded as imposters, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, but yet, and yet possessing everything. See, that's what we get tonight. We admit, on the one hand, with this cross of ashes, we admit that we are nothing, and yet because of Christ's death and resurrection, because of his grace, and because of the power of his Holy Spirit at work in us as his people, what do we get? Everything. Having nothing, yet possessing everything. Isn't that a sweet swap? I hope that we, during this Lenten season, will not only keep Lent, but couldn't we celebrate Lent? If we understand that we go from being dust we are and to dust we shall return, bringing nothing and yet receiving everything, can't we say it's worthy of celebration? I want to challenge you. Last night I did this at Shrove Tuesday. I'm going to do it again tonight. Is normally we give up something during Lent. And like I said before, some of us give up things that we're not going to miss too much. Well, I know that I'm going to ask you to give up something that everyone in this room values. It is the currency of our age. It is time. I'm going to ask you to give up time during this Lenten season to take time out of your busy schedule to spend more time with the Lord and read through the New Testament Bible, part of the Bible, during Lent. Works out to approximately 20 to 25 minutes a day. And you know, when they used to give up things, the idea was that during the Lenten season, when they gave up things, it always had to do around, kind of centered around food, and it was because the food took time to prepare. It was before drive-thrus. My son and I were having this discussion because he thinks Roy Rogers could have went through the drive-thru. I keep telling him it probably didn't happen, but I know he'll stay up all night now because I just ruined it for him. But you know, Roy Rogers, you know, he's just so concerned Roy Rogers couldn't go through drive-thru. But, you know, some of you don't know who Roy Rogers was. Oh, sorry. He's a cowboy. Had a horse. Smartest horse, right? No, anyways. Oh, boy. He loves Roy Rogers, and he just can't imagine that Roy Rogers couldn't go through drive-thru. But before drive-thrus and before, you know, come and pick up the food and go home, before restaurants, before microwaves, before refrigeration, to make and prepare food took a long time. And so when people said they were fasting, what they were doing was giving up time, preparation time, so they could spend time in the Word and in prayer with the Lord. And I want to challenge you, there's two programs out there on the table back there where the devotions are. There's one that I like, which kind of, it's written by a guy in Texas where you take part of the gospel and then part of the letters each day. There's another one for you linear folks that, you know, that like to do everything in order. It actually takes so many each day, and you just have to open up your Bible and just start where you left off. It's a little simpler, okay? To turn too many pages or anything. I also told on there, there's Bible Gateway, which is a great site, and it also has audio. So while you're looking at your emails, if you have a computer, like most of you do, you can actually go on Bible Gateway audio, and you can actually listen to the passages while you're doing other things. If some of you are going, well, I can't handle that. That's multitasking. Ooh. But some of us like that, okay? So I like to multitask, I guess. But I just want to challenge you. Can you do that? Because I'll guarantee you, if you do that during this Lenten season, you will not just keep Lent, but you will celebrate Lent. And when we get to Holy Week, you will celebrate Holy Week. When we get to the Good Friday and the Lord's Passion, you will celebrate Good Friday and Lord's Friday. When we get to Easter, you will celebrate Easter. If you spend time in the Word and prayer, if you get closer in your intimate relationship with the Lord through reading His Word each day, which we should all do as a regular discipline, right? Spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer. I'm asking you to add to it. If you do that, I promise you. St. Paul promised you in Romans 10, verse 17, about how faith comes through hearing, how this will benefit you, I promise you that you will have experience where just maybe, I know this is hard to imagine, but it won't be I kept Lent this year, but you could say, honestly, I celebrated Lent. Because we do want to celebrate that the Lord has given us his time so that we can truly understand. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return. He who had no sin became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. That's an amazing swap. That's our amazing God.